Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
This week I wanted to share with you one of my favorite Christian songs. It's called I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. So I'm just going to read you some of the lyrics for the song. I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Now, I would argue that this is a song of celebration. We're meeting with Jesus, and we're meeting with God, the ones who we worship, the ones who we serve each and every day. And this is a huge blessing. This is awesome. I can only imagine, however, was birthed not in celebration, but in brokenness. Bob Millard, who's the lead singer for Mercy Me and the one who wrote this song, had a very hard childhood. You see, early in his life, his dad had an accident. Now, this didn't affect his dad physically as much as it did emotionally. And his dad had a violent temper. And this temper got so bad that his wife divorced him, and he was left with the two small boys to raise. Now, with his mother gone, Bart felt the full brunt of his dad's anger, and it wasn't uncommon for him to end up as his dad's punching bag. And this went on until Bart was in high school, when his father was diagnosed with cancer. And it was during this time, as Bart acting as his dad's nurse, that Bart noticed a change in his dad, because his dad started to walk with Jesus. You see, his dad went from that monster in his life to being Bart's best friend. And with his dad's faith transformation, Bart also discovered his own faith. Interestingly enough, it was when his dad died that Bart finally got mad at God. Because it was only at the end that Bart had finally gotten the father he had always wanted and needed to have. It was during his father's funeral that the phrase, I can only imagine, came up. His grandmother just made an offhanded comment about how she could only imagine what his dad was experiencing right now. Bart never forgot this phrase. And this inspirational celebratory song was born. In the midst of hardship, in the midst of brokenness of life, Bart found the promises of God to be uplifting, bringing him to celebrate the Word of God. Have you ever asked yourself, what gives us as Christians the power to hope? What gives us Christians this ability to change our attitude? It's studying the Bible and seeing the promises of God and how God's word works in our lives to change our very inner beings. And this week we see it in our case from our first lesson, 2 Samuel chapter 5. So if you have your Bible apps, I'd invite you to open them or take one of those black pew Bibles in front of you and pull them out. We're on page 243. Again, 2 Samuel chapter 5, found on page 243 of those black Bibles in front of you. And as we do, as you're getting there each and every week, I'd like to give you a little context about what we're doing. The first thing to know about these books of 1 and 2 Samuel is that traditionally, this was just one long story. It was the early translators who broke the story into two different parts. And the story basically covers the inception of the king to the people of Israel, as well as the first king, Saul, and then the second and probably better known king, King David. Even though we talk a lot about kings or rulers in this book, don't you find it fascinating that the book isn't named David or Saul, but Samuel? You might be asking yourself, who is this Samuel character? Well, he was God's prophet. He was the one who brought the word of God to the people and to the kings. So we as readers should understand that the most important thing in this royal history isn't the rulers, but it's God. God's word or God's promises are what we're supposed to get out of these books more than we are to glorify these great leaders. So as we look at verse 1 of chapter 5, we are at an interesting crossroads for the people of Israel. They had just experienced a civil war. The family of Saul had led the tribes of Israel, and David had led the tribes of Judah. And David had won. So here we are in verse 1. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and your flesh." And this verse is huge because what happened here is that the tribes of Israel, you know, those people were suddenly united with us. There was no more us versus them. Instead, there was just we. Our Jewish brothers and sisters were able to begin to see an end to this brokenness and hardship of this bloody civil war that they had gone through. I invite you to turn the page at this point and jump down to chapter 6, verse 1 for me. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. So you might be wondering to yourself, what is this Ark again? Now, many of us remember the Ark not from the book of Genesis, but from the wonderful movie Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, which again is a great movie to watch, so I'd recommend that one. The Ark was a valuable box that was carried around by the priests. Does anybody remember what's in the Ark? Don and Jean, you can't answer. Anybody remember what's in the Ark? The Ten Commandments, very good. Otherwise known as the Word of God. Previously, on the last episode of Samuel, the miniseries, the Philistines had stolen the Ark and had gotten some pretty bad curses for possessing it. So many bad things happened to the Philistines. Their football teams lost again and again. They never made it to a Super Bowl. That they had to put the Ark back on the cart, and they escorted it back to the border, and they just let it go. They're like, bye-bye, we don't want it anymore. So let's jump down to verse 3. So the Israelites have just gotten the Ark back. The Israelites carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill. Uzzad and Ahio, the sons of Eliab, were driving the cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So you might be asking yourself again, why this celebration over a box? I mean, yeah, it looked cool. It was really golden. But the hardships and brokenness maybe were winding down, but it wasn't over. There were still a lot of bad feelings on both sides of the civil war. The kingdom of Israel had many powerful enemies still surrounding them. And newsflash for you, David was not the noblest of kings, as we would find out later. I mean, why would we celebrate in this moment of brokenness? And it comes back to the Ark. You see, the Ark was that symbol of God's word coming back to rest in the midst of the capital city of Jerusalem. The Ark had come back into the midst of a broken country of Israel, to the people who were full of flaws and warts. God's word of promise had come back to them. And it meant to the world to them that God hadn't given up on them, that God's word was in the midst of them in spite of all the things that they had done wrong and would continue to do wrong. God didn't forget God's promise. So what about you today? How do you need God's promise or God's word in your life? Why do you need to be reminded that God's promises to walk with you despite all that is broken in your life today? And my answer to that is I think all of us need to have hope. We all need hope because I don't know about you, but there are days in my life that suck. There were a lot of hard days in my life that just seemed to happen a lot last week. And to be honest, I didn't know where the next piece of bad news was going to come from last week. Has anybody else experienced a day or a week or a month or a year like that where all the news that you get keeps getting worse and worse and worse? But this is the reason we come to church today. This is the reason why we come and celebrate God. This is why we sing. This is why we pray. And this is why we show up week after week, month after month, because I don't know about you, but I need to hear this promise. I need to hear this word of God. We need to hear God's word so that we can hope, so that we can hear a word of love in a time of division, that we can hear that we are wanted. Now, one of the other best places to get all this besides coming to church each and every week is in your Bible. Now, I know this book can be very intimidating at times. I know this book can be very boring at times. Yes, I am looking at you, Leviticus. I know this book can be hard to understand at times. However, there's so much good stuff in here. So much stuff that reminds us of God's love for us, as well as stuff in here that just gives you hope. Hope when it doesn't seem like anything else is ever going to go right. Hope when everything just seems to have gone wrong. So this week, I'd like you to find a Bible that you actually like. A Bible that has language that makes it easy for you to read. And I want you to take some time to dig into your Bible. To make it even easier, I would recommend that you use a devotion for this week. Now, I believe there's still one that we're printing out each week in your bulletin, so you can use that. And it directs you what text to read, and I think it gives you a touch, a little bit of background. Or you can download one like Our Daily Bread. I know Roger does that. That's a good one. You can talk to him to see what that looks like. And there are copies of Our Daily Bread out in the narthex as well, too. There's other online resources you can find. But I want you to just find a devotional. Because what it has is it has a short Bible verse. It has a little thing talking about why this Bible verse is relevant, and it has a short prayer. So it doesn't take more than 5 minutes, but it gets us into the word. It reminds us of the hope that we need to have. It reminds us of the love that we need. It reminds us that we are wanted because we're a child, children of God. And as you do all these things, use these resources and read your Bibles, I want you to see what kind of words that God may have for you in your life. And this last part is a very important piece as you look at the Bible. You always need to be asking yourself, what is God trying to say to me today? What does this mean in my life? Because God is still speaking to us through this book today. God wants us to use God's word in the midst of our brokenness. Because when we do, we see the hope and promise of God. This is the reason that we celebrate each week, not for more brokenness or misery, but because of the hope which comes to us when we so desperately need it. And I'd like to end with a couple more lines from the song that we talked about earlier. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine what all I do is forever, forever to worship you. I can only imagine. Amen.